Welcome to Arizona Cardinals Underground.
Touchdown, Arizona!
That was beautiful!
Oh, my goodness!
The latest news and notes on the Arizona Cardinals from the guys who cover the team.
Somebody open the front door! Stevens Howling's coming in!
Oh, baby!
Wells runs over a defender, knocks his helmet off, and gets into the end zone for a touchdown!
From Studio 229B in Flagstaff, Arizona.
Adrian Wilson just ate his liver with fava beans and a fine Chianti.
Touchdown! Fitzgerald.
This is football at its finest.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get your rear right back in the locker room. Quarterback question in camp. No quarterback question here on Cardinals Underground because I'm running things. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I'm under center, maybe via shotgun here. I'm distributing the ball to my playmakers, Darren Urban, MazyCardinals.com. Ron Wolfley over here from the Cardinals flagship and Cardinals broadcasting. They came out with these power rankings in the NFL so far, right? Today, you know?
Yeah, I noticed that.
Power rankings when it comes to storylines so far, what, a week into camp or so? What's top of mind for you?
Well, I mean, I think there are all the usual suspects. I mean, one of the things that I noticed coming into this camp was there was really nothing that we haven't already been talking about for, it feels like, the entire offseason already. Whether it's the quarterback situation, whether it's the health of the running backs, whether it's whether the outside linebackers were going to be able to hold up as young starters, or whether they were unproven, you know, the changes in the offensive line, right tackle especially, defensively, who's going to be the other starting cornerback besides Patrick Peterson. That's kind of how I look at it right now, is all these storylines, we kind of knew what they were going in, and now it's just a question of letting them play out.
And nobody's really jumped up to clarify any of those questions yet, have they, Wolf?
No, I don't think so, Paulie. I think the running back situation, as Dee mentioned, I think obviously with the injury situation being what it is with Beanie Wells, you just don't know. We're going to see Beanie Wells in the preseason. We're definitely going to get to see that at some point, but when that is, nobody really knows. Ryan Williams as well. Here's a guy that looks like he is on a full recovery of that patella tendon, but again, it's the patella tendon. So anytime you start getting hopeful about that, you've got to mitigate it, because again, if he were to come back and look like the Ryan Williams of a year ago and look exactly the same, it would be the exception and not the rule when you tear that patella tendon. Cadillac Williams is a guy that comes to mind. But Ryan Williams has really worked hard on that thing and rehabbed that thing. As a matter of fact, the doctors say if you could rehab a patella tendon tear, Ryan Williams and how he did it would be the way you'd want to do it. And he's done it to a T, and it gives me a lot of respect for the guy, frankly. But the quarterback position, of course, I don't think we're going to know about that anytime soon. I think we're going to know later than we are sooner.
What do we know right now, you think, Darren? I mean, everywhere we walk around, we get the quarterback question. I know Wolf gets questions about his face and the red hot glow, but the rest of us get the quarterback question. And so we've seen a little bit of everything from both guys, haven't we? Good, bad, and in between.
Oh, yeah. I mean, at this point, and we're only a week in, and we're only whatever it is, five practices in or whatever it might be. But no, I don't think we've learned a whole lot in terms of who would get it over the other one. I agree with Wolf. I mean, this was always going to be about the preseason games. This was always going to be about going against other teams. This was always going to be about what you did in game situations. The rest of this, it's practice, man. It's practice. You know, it's you can do some things. Like I noticed yesterday before he ended up going out at the very end of practice, I thought Kevin Cobb looked pretty sharp compared to on Saturday when I didn't think he did. But I mean, that's the kind of the up and down nature of both these guys, and that's one of the reasons you're in this position in the first place.
Paulie, let me jump in here and just say, you know what, to Darren's point, I think practice, of course, they're being evaluated all the time, okay? In practice, quarterbacks are going to be evaluated, but in games, they're going to be tested. And it's the games, of course, that are going to far and away outweigh what they might do in practice, you know? I've known a lot of players, by the way. I've known a lot of players that were game players and a lot of players that were practice players, so to speak, and for whatever reason couldn't turn it on in a game. But these preseason games, if you're going to have a quarterback competition, you pray that you play in the Hall of Fame game. because you get that extra preseason game.
You know, I had this discussion, if you will. I advanced a point with one of the assistant coaches. I said, you know, is it possible you might be able to tell more about the quarterbacks in practice, because Ray Horton would be more apt to run some pretty complex defensive looks and schemes, and in the preseason, notoriously, historically, you just get vanilla defenses. And he said, well, there's a little bit of truth to that, but remember, there's no live rush in practice. You have to, you know, you got to get the live 11 on 11 and get the pass rush in the face and the threat of really being lit up in full contact football before you can evaluate.
What you just said, the threat.
Yeah.
Because the pressure changes everything. It's one thing to go back there and take a snap and know, oh, here comes cover zero. Ray Horton sending the Huns over the wall. Go man across the board and bring everybody. It's one thing to face that, and quite another to face it in a game where there is pressure, because you know you could get your back waxed.
So is Ken Wisenhunt waiting for one of these guys to make the decision for him? Is that the ideal scenario? I mean, I'll take you back to 2008, that first half against the Raiders. Matt Leinart, 3 interceptions, game over, competition over. If it wasn't already lopsided in Kurt's favor by then, it was at that very moment. Is that what he's waiting for, that aha moment?
Well, I mean, obviously that would be the best thing. What you really want is for some guy to play so well that he just laps the other guy who's maybe playing average. You'd rather not have it be the other way, which is some guy plays so poorly, then you kind of go to the average guy. But yeah, I don't think there's any question. He's absolutely waiting for somebody to, you know, separate himself from the other one. And it's just a question of how that's going to come down. The reality is that might not happen. The reality is you might stay close enough that you're eventually going to have to make a call, you know, just based on what you want to do.
What clouds the picture, at least possibly, is what we saw in the red and white practice. Kevin Cobb just happened to run with the number twos, and well, there were a lot of O-line breakdowns with the second string and a lot of young guys. And so now all of a sudden it's difficult to gauge and measure the quarterback, because almost immediately he had pressure in his face. You know, those are the sort of things that Ken Wisenhunt and his staff are going to have to take into account. And, you know, speaking to the O-line, Wolf, I mean, you know, right now we're figuring Jeremy Bridges is that right tackle, correct?
Yes, correct. I would say Jeremy Bridges is your right tackle. Please, 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 Bobby Massey, please distinguish yourself and step forward and be able to do that. I say that not out of disrespect to Jeremy Bridges in any way, shape, or form. I say that because Jeremy Bridges is so, I can't stress this enough, he is so incredibly valuable as a guy you can bring off the bench, and he can start at right tackle. He can start at right guard, left tackle. The only thing he can't do is play center. Do you know how valuable that is in a National Football League, and how valuable that is to an offensive coordinator and an offensive line coach when you have that guy you can plug and play and do it with certitude and know the guy is going to be able to hold up and get you out of that game? There's not a lot of guys you can play anywhere across the board as well as Jeremy Bridges does. He's so valuable there. That allows the Arizona Cardinals to dress 7 offensive linemen when most teams are dressing 8 offensive linemen going into a game. I know it doesn't sound like much, but that one extra spot on the game day roster, right? That one extra position is huge.
I will say this, though. I agree with Wolf, and in a perfect world, that's how it would break down. I don't see, and we've got a long way to go, but my personal feeling right now is I don't see any way how Bobby Massey is starting at the beginning of the year, given the way that these coaches look at rookies, how they want them to earn their way on. A couple of things I've seen a couple times with Massey, just you can kind of tell he's still, there was a play where, and this is not, anything to be ashamed of, but in one-on-ones, O'Brien Schofield went up against him and drove him back pretty good on one play, and I'm thinking
he's way too high.
You know, so it's one of those things that he's clearly learning, and I think Jeremy Bridges knows too much and is too fundamentally sound for Bobby Massey to be able to surpass him in a month, which is what we're talking about right now.
The only thing I will say too is offensive linemen, I think they have the biggest amount of chance or ability to actually improve quicker than most positions. They really do, because once you understand what it is you're doing on the offensive line, that is half, truly half the battle, more so than even being a wide receiver or a running back for that matter. And I know it sounds funny, but they're given the opportunity. They're placed in a position, placed in the trenches, given the opportunity to improve quickly, and they can improve quickly once they know what it is they're doing. Can you imagine not really knowing what you're doing when you're supposed to act in unison with four other guys on the offensive line? Once they get it, once they understand the precepts that go into playing that position, they have a tendency to improve quicker as camp goes on. And I don't know if Bobby Massey ever will be better this training camp than Jeremy Bridges is going to be. But I do know this, if you could bring him up to a level where he could play well enough to be acceptable and play well at that right tackle position, what Jeremy Bridges offers his team is huge, and many times it actually works against him.
But to Darren's point, you know, talking to Russ Grimm, you know, he values the five preseason games because he has a chance to build some chemistry with new guys in the line.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have all five guys returning from year to year, okay, now you have to build chemistry, and that's the biggest challenge. And in talking to Russ, okay, at least we have five games, and all the more reason to keep Jeremy Bridges out there, you know, so they develop chemistry through these games. Although, if we're going to talk about Bobby Massey, we got to give a shout out to the other two rookie offensive linemen because they have flashed at various times. Nate Potter and Senio Calamete, you know, they've been okay. I mean, Wolf, you've been out there. This is Wolf's favorite drill. I'm going to do a little dramatic reenactment. Hold this for a minute, Darren.
See, this is what's
okay,
so
this
great
is
about
watching
video.
The one-on-ones, you know, and this is Wolf right here. He's like this. He's like a coach. He's like, oh. I mean, Wolf, you're almost in the three-point stance yourself. I mean, you really get into those O-line, D-line drills. You ever notice that? You're
yeah.
Like, oh, you're watching like this.
Well, there's no doubt about it, Paul. I mean, it really is. That's where it all starts. That's a game of football. It's in the trenches. Can you imagine? You're operating in a confined area to begin with, right? There's not a lot of room down in the trenches, and it stinks. Honestly, it does.
It smells
bad in the trenches, and you don't have to use your imagination as to why it smells bad in the trenches. It's basically like having a fist fight in a porta potty.
If this was Smell-O-Vision instead of Google Hangout, we'd get a sense of that here in the dorm room of Jim Omohundro, but we digress. Anything else on the offensive side of the ball?
Yeah, the only other thing I'd like to say, Dare, would you like to say something, D?
I'm enjoying just sitting and listening.
The
to
only
guys.
Other thing I'd like to say is this, the dynamic of having three rookie offensive linemen that were drafted. I love that dynamic.
Why do
the
you
fact
do this?
That, just that, because that I'm making a point, anything? Paul, this is I talk with my hands, you know that. Right. The fact that we have three rookie offensive linemen that the Arizona Cardinals actually used a draft pick on to bring into the organization, I love that because it sets off this chain reaction. What do rookies try? What would you say about rookies? Would you say they try hard in training camp?
Too hard sometimes.
Oh, I would say, yeah, maybe too hard, Paulie. Exactly. I like where you're going with that. Uh-huh. The fur's going to fly, right? They're going to line up and they're going to go game tempo because, my goodness, most rookies are afraid that a coach will come walking in the middle of practice and say, okay, you're cut. See you later, all right? So they, you know, a rookie's going to go out there and they're going to try hard. Well, what happens when you've got three guys that are out there trying hard, not just undrafted free agents, but guys you used a draft pick on and you bring them into the fold, they have a very good chance of sticking around. You've got to develop offensive linemen. That is the charge to most offensive line coaches today. Develop offensive linemen. Bring them along because they do have an opportunity, as I mentioned earlier, of developing quickly, right? That is the charge to every offensive lineman. Russ Grimm has three offensive linemen that were drafted that you use draft picks on, valuable draft picks. And because of that, I think we're going to see the fur fly in this training camp like we have never seen it before.
All right, so whether you're listening, viewing, you know, multimedia content, consuming, whatever you want to call it, they're like, hey, don't bury the lead, guys. If we're talking draft picks, how about the number one pick, Michael Floyd? Give us your thoughts so far.
I think Michael's had a pretty decent camp already. I mean, I thought he flashed a couple times in the red-white practice in terms of, you know, making a couple of catches. There was one catch in particular where I thought the defensive back had the good coverage and was going to cut it off, and he got his big body in between it and made the catch, got a first down out of it. I thought that was impressive, and I think that's what you're looking for. You know, nothing's really changed in terms of how I kind of see Michael Floyd
at the beginning of this season in terms of, I still think he's going to be coming off the bench, as it were. I mean, when you have four receivers and you run a bunch of different plays, I mean, starting almost doesn't matter half the time. But I do think he'll be behind Roberts and Doucette early on as he kind of gets his feet underneath him. But I think he's got a chance to do some things in terms of this year and making an impact. You know, is he going to be, you know, a Larry Fitzgerald type of first-round draft pick? I still think that's a long shot, both because it takes so much time for wide receivers to develop, and also because of the quarterback situation. I mean, it's not like you got Kurt Warner throwing the ball back there. But I do think that it can turn into a really solid pick. I think they like this kind of blocking he's already had downfield when he's had to block. And I think he's going in the right direction. But again, it's early. I would like to see him in a game or two to see how he kind of reacts that way.
It's interesting to see some of the personnel groups, and you have some of the big receivers, not just Larry, Michael Floyd, Stephen Williams at 6'4", Laron Bird at 6'4". You see these guys in camp.
Yeah.
It's intriguing to watch some of that and some of the possibilities. And then, of course, you got Rob Housler at like 6'5". You know, my camp breakout player of the season, which you ripped off, Wolf. So
oh,
I just, I'll give you a... I'll be the bigger man here, the magnanimous sort.
Well, you're too short for that.
And allow you, figuratively speaking, and let you comment on Housler so far.
Well, you know, again, Rob Housler is a guy that I picked to be the breakout player in training camp, and I did that months ago, okay? One of the reasons why is just this was a guy that showed flashes last year. I kind of liken him to a guy like Aaron Hernandez. Oh, man, did I say that? Did I say Aaron Hernandez? But he does. He compares to him, and the only thing I would say, he's got more speed than Aaron Hernandez has. Okay,
so he's Aaron Hernandez except better.
He's got better speed. He's not as good a blocker as Aaron Hernandez.
Just throw out Kellen Winslow.
Okay, no, he's not as good a blocker as Aaron Hernandez, but he's got more speed. But so what? You can have all the speed in the world, and sometimes all that does is get you in the wrong place quicker. Okay, so he's got to know what it is that he's doing, Rob Housler. I am bullish on Rob Housler because I do believe this guy is going to develop the nuance that it takes to run routes, short and intermediate routes, as well as be able to get down the middle of the field. And if you've got a guy who's 6'5 and runs a sub 4.5, getting down the middle of the field, ooh boy, that opens up an awful lot for you offensively. But Michael Floyd, my charge is this. Michael Floyd, get off the press. Get off the press. If Michael Floyd will be able to get off the press, stretch the field down, make a couple of plays, catch the ball, that's provided he runs the right route, knows what he's doing, and catches the ball, makes a couple of plays, that big guy gets off the press. Now, all of a sudden, that could open up a world of offense for the Arizona Cardinals.
Now, why do you say that about him and maybe not another receiver? Why is it so vital and important or particular?
Well, because Andre Roberts, frankly, struggles to get off the press. And has struggled to get off the press. Okay. And if you move him now to the slot where he's off the ball, of course, now go ahead and try to press him. You can't get your hands on him quick enough. That gives him the ability to use his skills and his talents to get around that and run those short to intermediate routes, the option route in the middle of the field. A guy like Eddie Royal, I would compare him to, okay? To me, he had 51 receptions last year. You put him in the slot, now all of a sudden you're talking about Andre Roberts maybe catching 80 balls this year.
You know, a lot has been made about the Niners returning all 11 guys on defense, right, in the top-ranked defense league, et cetera. Cardinals have, what, one spot open on defense, really, for competition? I mean, there's really just one spot that's really – and William Gay was the guy who started at least with the ones in the red and white practice.
I mean, I think that's fair to say. I mean, I know defensive coordinator Ray Horton said the other day that, you know, for instance, O'Brien Schofield, it's not set in stone. They're not going to completely close the door on Clark Hagan starting there. But I think for the most part, you're right. I think – when you look around the defense, I think we all pretty much know exactly who's going to be at least in the starting lineup. But we also know with Ray Horton that he's going to use so many multiple different looks that there's going to be a lot of guys getting in there. And in terms of the cornerback, yeah, William Gay is starting across from Patrick Peterson. I don't think there's any question Patrick Peterson's your number one. And then you got about, I don't know, it seems like 72 guys behind him fighting for, you know, what could be 3-4 spots of getting playing time, because you know in this league you're going to use three cornerbacks a ton, and you might use four cornerbacks a lot, so all those spots are important. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out between Gay and Jamel Fleming and AJ Jefferson and Greg Toler coming off the knee and Michael Adams, you know, all these guys. You know, there's a lot of possibilities there. And what I found intriguing the other day was And I'm actually working on this story today, but Horton said that in his head, he already kind of has an idea of who the number one, number two, number three, number four
are. I heard him tell you that. Yeah.
So now obviously he's not giving us any names. And he also made the caveat that that's before any games and things happen in games that'll change some things. But obviously the head or the defensive coordinator already has an idea of what direction he's going to go with this.
Ken Wisden has said more than once that there's going to be one or two cornerbacks they cut that will play in this league for another team. So that's a good, you know, we're also going to see cornerbacks rush the passer, just like we saw Darnell Dockett at least once last season drop into coverage. I mean, Ray Horton uses all these guys in a variety of ways. And in talking with Kerry Rhodes, Wolf, you know, he said, hey, first off, we're going to be a top five defense. All right, I think top 10 is more realistic, you know, possibly. Number two, he said, it is so night and day. He said a year ago at this time, I was running around, not sure where I was going. Adrian didn't know where he was going. Calais is looking around. Doc, nobody had a clue, you know, trying to really, you know, get a handle on the new defense. So how much farther ahead is this Cardinals defense going into 2012? Is it possible to gauge that?
Yeah, I'm definitely, I'm going to go with Kerry Rhodes on this, Paul. Night and day is what it is. And how good can they be? You know, I think their goal ought to be a top five defense. I think that should be their goal. Why do I say that? Well, let's see. They finished number one in third down defense in the National Football League. Did you know that, Paul? Number one, they allowed a conversion rate on third down of less than 40%. That is championship quality right there. That's a big stat, too. Okay, there are some stats in the National Football League that I could do without. Just throw them to the side, could basically care. And then there are other stats that I think you can look at, and you can say, aha, third down in the National Football League is a huge down. It's a huge down offensively, and it's a huge down defensively. It's basically saying, especially over the course of a 16-game season, it's saying, how often are you getting offenses off the field? Okay, provided, of course, you're not giving up all these big plays that go for touchdowns. It's a big number and a big indicator of a pass rush, because basically, if you can get pressure on a quarterback, it's going to make him throw the ball sooner than he wants, or it's going to make him get rid of the ball. It talks about coverage. It speaks to all the things you've got to be able to do on third down. They were number one, despite not playing well at all in the first six or seven games of the season. Number one in third down defense in the National Football League, number two in red zone defense. That's a big number right there, too. Red zone defense. You got to be kidding me. How many times do you allow an offense to get the ball on the 20 or inside and convert that possession into a touchdown? They were allowing 40%. Again, championship number right there. Number two, red zone defense. Number seven in sacks in the National Football League. That number 11 in sacks per pass attempt. So basically top third in sacks per pass attempt, which I think is a better way of gauging what kind of pressure you're actually getting on a quarterback. This defense is young, and yet it's already done some very critical things and played very well in some big games. And I say big games for them, not big games in the whole grand scheme of things. But I would say playing against the San Francisco 49ers, that is a big game, especially the second game of the season. They played well in that game. They play well in other games. So if you can play well being that young and inexperienced with a new defense a year ago, boy, hopefully those guys individually are going to be able to carry that over. Guys like O'Brien Schofield, Sam Acho, even Darrell Washington is still scratching the surface of his potential. Patrick Peterson, David Carter, Dan Williams, these guys are, Calais Campbell even. I'm going to keep Calais in the young category. I'm not going to look at him and think he's even reached his prime yet or is a grizzled veteran. I think Calais Campbell can still get better and is still a young guy. And because of that, I think the Cardinals should have a goal of being a top five defense.
So where do they get better? You had that discussion with Ray Horton. Did he say anything in particular where he wants this defense to get better? Maybe eliminate the big plays they saw from time to time? Because it is a risk-taking, gambling defense that sometimes leaves itself open.
You know, I don't think he necessarily got real specific over that. I mean, there's been many things that have been talked about. I know at the Red and White practice, there was a lot of talk from the players about needing to get better in the goal line situations. They obviously need to force some more turnovers, you know, for all the sacks they got last year, and the especially down the stretch, the way how well they played in terms of not giving up points. They didn't force a lot of turnovers. It was a lot of three and outs or only giving up one first down and then a punt, which there's nothing wrong with that. But when you have the offense the way they have it, it'd be nice to get a couple turnovers and kind of flip field position a little bit easier.
Interceptions probably this year would be a definite area they would want to improve.
Yeah, so I mean, I think, you know, they're going in the right direction. I think they need health. I think we look at the outside linebackers with Schofield and Acho. I think they've got a nice base there, and I think those guys can go in the right way. But I think there's a lot of unknowns behind them, and one of those guys gets hurt, what direction do you go in?
I think two areas I think Ray Horton can look at and say we really need to improve our defense. I would say in the running game, of course, they finish right in the middle of the pack. Now, that's not bad. It's not bad at all, but still, running game, you could improve. Definitely would try to get into the top third. And then takeaways. D already mentioned it right there. They had 19 takeaways last year. That was tied for number 27 in the National Football League. They had 10 picks and 9 fumbles recovered. You really got to do better than that.
Yeah, I know he talked a lot of DBs, A-Dub in particular. They tell you they dropped a half dozen, you know, each. So I know it's something they want to get. I tell you, there's two guys, though, that I can't take my eyes off and watching practice up here in Flagstaff, and that's just Darrell Washington and Patrick Peterson. You know, it's the athleticism out on the field. It's the playmaking they show, even in some of the drills. I mean, is there any doubt those two guys are going to have, knock on wood, are going to have big seasons this year?
Well, I mean, they should have big seasons. I mean, you still got to see it. I mean, I think Patrick Peterson flashed last year, and obviously Washington did too. But, you know, they've got to do it for a whole year. You know, even Wiz was saying the other day that Washington's got to turn some of that speed inward and be really disciplined, because having speed without having the discipline doesn't really help you a whole lot. So, but I do expect those guys to be big. And that's why I'm looking forward to these games getting started. Obviously, those guys aren't going to play a lot, especially early on. But I want to see these guys in game situations.
Yeah, I would say Darrell Washington is the X factor. I think largely you could look at Ray Horton's defense, and it is the X-Men, if you will, because he's going to move a lot of people all over the place. And I think Darrell Washington is going to be in the epicenter of that movement. He is going to line up. I think it used to be, where's Adrian Wilson? I think now we're going to start seeing, where's Darrell Washington, and where will Ray Horton use him? He's going to be all over the field. And the other thing I'll say about Darrell Washington in conclusion is this: Jägermeister, all right? Master hunter, Darrell Washington, hunter of men. His tackling with those long arms, his tackling has improved so much from when he first came into the league. So Darrell Washington, Jägermeister, get better.
Well, you know, Wolf decided to paint his face in Cardinals team colors for this edition, the inaugural edition here of the 2012 season. We appreciate the big red face to go here with the big red in the discussion of the Cardinals here on Cardinals Underground and the Google Plus Hangout. Wolf.
Somebody have a cool towel.
Darren, big plans in Canton for the Hall of Fame and so forth. You know, you're going to be in there. Yeah,
I'll be there covering the team when they get a tour. So that'll be good. Looking forward to it. It'll be interesting to have an extra preseason game. But I'll be honest, when we get to the preseason, I like having the games. It's so hard to make judgments out here on the practice field. I don't like making judgments on the practice field. I like to see them in games before you really can kind of tell where people are.
This time around, we'll try not to campaign for inclusion in the Hall of Fame. 10 years in the NFL, 4 Pro Bowls. You did quite well for yourself. Don't embarrass yourself by going around glad-handing and campaigning for a spot in the Hall of Fame. Okay, please? For Ron Wolfley, Big Red Face, Darren Urban, yours truly, Paul Calvisi, Jim Omohundro. This will be known as the first ever edition, in-season edition of Google Plus Hangout here on Cardinals Underground on azcardinals.com.